Good morning. Thanks for making your way to First Baptist Church today and competing with a marathon and events at the Ledge. We are delighted that you're here at First Baptist in the house of the Lord. It's the 11th Sunday in the season of Pentecost, so this is that slow season of growing and knowing and encouraging each other in the faith. So welcome. A few weeks ago, thought we were going to live stream again starting this Sunday, but we're pushing that to the 28th. So next Sunday, we will be live streaming. Evan is doing a live stream event at the Ledge grounds today, and it's Treaty 6 Recognition Day. And there's a monument unveiling going on, I think, right now, and other festivities that go till 2 p.m. So that's an important event. First Baptist Church is located on Treaty 6 land, and we often acknowledge that we're a traditional territory of the Cree, the Soto, the Blackfoot, the Métis, the Dene, and the Nakota Sioux. And our church building is in this place called Edmonton, which is also a Miskwichi Waskaigan, meaning Beaver Hills House in the Cree language. So we acknowledge that as a church organization, we greatly benefit from treaties with Canada's First Nation. Also today, we have a church picnic. So we've been doing this throughout the summer, traveling two blocks just south of the church to the northwest corner of the Ledge grounds, and either we've already brought a lunch or we grab a sandwich on the way down. There's places around here that you can grab something to go. Even District Coffee House has sandwiches that's right next door to us in Peace Hills Trust Building. And so feel free to join us. It's a simple time of gathering, eating, sharing some stories, playing giant block Jenga, some of us, and always a good time. And then we're thinking that we'll probably eat together for a bit, and then maybe some of us will make our way down to that monument that's newly been displayed today. Also, there's a marathon, as you may have known or recognized as you were coming in, so that's from 8 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. today, so it might be a good day to just hang out downtown a little longer and wait until the traffic lightens up a bit. We've had other events going on around in our church community. Yesterday, we had a memorial service here for Bob Rogers, and so we were able to honor Bob's life. And Bob had passed away earlier in the year, but the family wanted to wait until August to have a bigger celebration of life memorial for him. And then many of you know Linda and Les Mabbitt. They celebrated their 60th anniversary yesterday, and so if you know Linda and Les, please send them a text or make a phone call or send them an email today or in the days ahead and congratulate them on that great event in their marriage life. There's children's programming available, so after the children's blessing, Noah, our summer worker, will go downstairs with the kids, so heads up on that. And you may have noticed, if you were here last week, that we didn't have any organ music. And today we're not having organ music as well, because the 1955 motor that powers the bellows, or lungs, of our organ is kaput. Rest in peace, motor. So Gordon and Harvey and Evelyn are working hard with Gerald to procure a new motor, and please pray with us as we search for that motor and get it installed in the next couple of weeks. So again, heads up on that. And a week from today, on August 28th, when we return to live stream, That will be our last 10 a.m. service of 2022. Whee! All the sleeper inners rejoice. So heads up on that, because on September 4th, we're back to 11 o'clock services on September 4th. As we continue to prepare our hearts for worship, I invite you into silence, to simply breathe, to be still, to know that we're not alone, and to know that the Spirit of the living God is here with us.
God, we dedicate ourselves to being your people. Accept our worship and our prayers, our intentions and our gifts. All has come from you, and now as we pray, your Spirit prompts us and empowers us. Grant us your grace that we might be faithful to your calling as your church. Deepen our faith, strengthen our love, and increase our hope.
Please pray with me. We have come to join in worship. Merciful Lord, in Christ, we see the lengths and depths to which you go to offer us deep, lasting life. Make us glad in our salvation this day. Restore, renew, enliven our hearts, our minds, bodies, souls, imaginations. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please join with me as we pray our prayer of confession together. You can find it on the front page of your order of service. God of the clean and the unclean, we too easily think we can see from your point of view. We exclude, hold grudges, and nurse contempt, all the while hiding ourselves for fear we too would be found wanting. We think we are justified because we are made holy by your love, and we assume holiness means more like us. We forget, or never really knew, that all you touch is holy, and that you created all that is. Renew our hearts, minds, and imaginations, so that we might love all that you love, and offer care and compassion to all of God's children. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Since God loved us so much, we ought also to love one another. Friends, know that by the love of God and through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
This morning's first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 to 23. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, You must not call profane. This happened 3 times, and the thing was suddenly taken up into heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, 3 men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish people, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the brothers and sisters from Joppa accompanied him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you turn your order of service over, at the top you'll find the litany. I will read the light print. Please read the bold print. Across the barriers that divide race from race, across the barriers that divide rich from poor. Across the barriers that divide Christians. Across the barriers that divide men and women, young and old. Across the barriers that divide the imprisoned and the free. Across the barriers that divide the outcast and the included. Confront us, O Christ, with the hidden prejudices and fears that deny and betray our prayers. Enable us to see the causes of strife and remove from us all senses of superiority.
I'm going to invite children forward, if you're comfortable with that, to hear the children's blessing. Or after the blessing prayer is done, you're welcome to walk out with Noah and the other children. But I'll wait for a few children to come forward as they're comfortable to do that. Good morning. We just heard an interesting story from the Bible, a story about a man named Peter and a white sheet unfolding before him from the sky. Did you hear that part of the story? There was this big white sheet that came from heaven. And so Dawn's holding a couple versions of pictures of what that might have been like for Peter. So this one's from 500 years ago, and this one is from about 5 days ago. Which one do you like better, 500 years or 5 days ago?
5 days ago.
5 days ago. We love it.
Yes. So, the winner, right?
That's the winner. So white blanket. This one has a white blanket. And there's animals in there, and there's an assortment of animals in there. And basically, God was saying, everything's good, and everybody gets in. I was thinking this past week when I was a 10-year-old, and my friend, I won't say his real name in case he's listening, my friend Johnny and I made a fort. And we decided we're going to have a secret password for our fort. And so the two of us hung out in our fort, just the two of us, and we were the only two who knew the secret password. But after like 4, 5, 6 days, we'd go in for meals and stuff, but we spent a lot of time in this fort, and it was just the two of us. You think that was very fun?
No.
No. We needed more people to get in on the fun of being in our fort. And that's kind of what God is saying with all these animals. Everybody gets to be in. Everyone gets to be a part of love and laughter and joy. And so we pray that you children near and afar might know of this great love of God who welcomes all and celebrates when everyone gets in. Let's pray together. Thank you, loving God, for your wide arms of welcome and your great big ideas of how awesome it is that everybody can get in on joy, laughter, and love. Would you continue to bless these children and the children that even worship from afar in our community of faith today? Guide them, encourage them, remind them that they're surrounded by love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This morning's second scripture reading is Acts chapter 10, verses 24 through 48. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting him and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is improper for a Jew to associate with or to visit an outsider. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now, may I ask you why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago at this very hour, at 3:00, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say.' Then Peter began to speak to them. 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the 3rd day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the wonderful word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here we are, in the sanctuary of our God, at this moment, during this time, and our practice is to join our hearts and our minds in prayer to God. So let's do that together now. Let's pray. Here we are in your presence, Lord. And we've come to be with you and to express that you are central in our lives. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And with you, all things are possible. And we celebrate your goodness and your greatness. You who are the self-revealing God, you who have made yourself known to us because you created us and you continue to love us so much, Jesus, that you came. You came to show us the potential that humanity has to be God's emissaries in the world, to make the world a better place, to create healing where there has been only harm, to create love where there has only been its lack. And for this, Lord, we know in order to be your people, we are sure that we need your forgiveness for all the magnificence of our humanity, which is a gift from you. We are weak and easily frightened. We put up barriers to people that we do not feel measure up to our petty standards. Apart from you, we can do nothing, and with you, all things are possible. Lord, we pray for those among us this morning that have brought joy with them into the sanctuary. We think of those who are newly engaged with a future of marriage that will satisfy the deepest places in their being with someone they love. We pray for those who have brought loneliness into the sanctuary. Teach us how to create a space here where loneliness is banished by your love, where we no longer turn away from those who enter this sanctuary, because we know with Peter that all of us are only human and nothing more. Teach us to put a guard on our arrogance. Teach us how to judge rightly and not walk away from those who differ from us, despite the difference. Oh, heavenly parent, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to be together. Help us know at the very core of our being that this life we share together is moved and sustained by our willingness to hear your voice, to understand your revelation of yourself, and to continue to learn what it means to be your children. Ultimately, to be your friends. We give you thanks for the witness of Scripture that pushes us past anything that is comfortably, safely the same as when we enter your sanctuary. Oh Lord, we pray for our country. I pray for Trudeau as he leads this country. Not an easy task. I pray for people like Daniel Watson who work in the government and try to make this country a better place. I pray for those who are judges, who are lawyers, who are teachers, who are psychologists. If anyone cleans our streets, Lord, in your name, let them by your grace be honored and lifted up. We long to know you as we are fully known by you, Show us the obstacles. We pray for Dawn as she brings your message this morning. We pray for those in our congregation that need to find an engine for our organ. We thank you that every detail of our lives is a concern to you. Nothing too small, nothing too large. We ask that you would be with Edmonton, that this city would be a safe and beautiful place for people to be spiritually renewed, fed, housed, befriended. Oh God, you have given us everything we need and more. Show us how to make good use of your goodness and your mercy and your love. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our third scripture reading this morning follows what Gwen and Warren have been reading in Acts 11. Now, the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered how the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I wasn't sure how many of us would be here today with all the many things going on and trying to cross roads. It's very exciting to see your faces looking back, especially Teresa's. Former student of mine from King's when I worked there. Total surprise to see her this morning. So welcome, Teresa. Oh, we have been going through the book of Acts this summer. Like what the Holy Spirit has been doing in the lives of individuals and in that early church, Ryan has encouraged us to notice where the Holy Spirit is pushing and shaping and energizing us. There's so much good stuff packed into these verses today, this story, that we had to have three readings today. And even then, we can barely scratch the surface with the amazing content that is in this reading that we have today. This is often called the story of Cornelius's conversion, which is true. But as we know, more than one thing can be true at the same time. And one commentator states that this is also the continuing conversion story of Peter. What we have in today's scripture readings are parallel conversion stories. Peter, a Jewish disciple, and Cornelius, a Gentile centurion, which means he is a commander of 100 soldiers. Cornelius, we find, is a God-fearing man. He's a Gentile who worships the Jewish God. He gives alms generously and prays constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, Cornelius has a vision where he saw the Lord of God coming in. And a terrified Cornelius asks, "What is it, Lord?" I love that I often seem to get these stories where angels are visiting someone, and it's always fun to put yourself in the shoes of that person receiving the scary visitor. The angel tells Cornelius, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now I want you to send some people to the house of Peter." I find it interesting that the angel doesn't tell Cornelius to go to Peter, but to send a delegation made up of servants and a trusted army friend. The angel doesn't give them instructions beyond go to Joppa and go to Simon Peter's house, where Peter is lodging. He's a tanner. It's not a whole lot of information when you're going to a town to try and find someone. But Cornelius listens, and he trusts the Lord, and he sends them. The day after Cornelius had his encounter, we hear about Peter, who is on the roof at noon. He's going there to pray. He's hungry and he needs to eat. And while the household was preparing a meal for Peter, he falls into a trance. Now Peter has a vision, and in his vision, he sees the heaven open up and something that looked like a sheet drop down to the ground by its four corners. On the sheet are all kinds of four-footed animals, like we saw with Ryan's pictures. We have four-footed animals, reptiles, birds. A voice tells Peter to get up, kill, and eat. The good, obedient, religious Jew says, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." This is a really big deal. The seriousness for God's chosen of the biblical laws about clean and unclean animals and food preparation found in Genesis and Leviticus cannot be overstated. These dietary laws were primary marks of the people of God, like keeping the Sabbath. This is how they are known, and this is how they know themselves. This is a very real dilemma for Peter. It is generations of teaching and adherence to laws that were not to be transgressed. But wouldn't you know it, God has something else in mind. The Holy Spirit is pushing. The Holy Spirit is shaping. Peter hears the voice say, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Apparently, Peter really needed for this lesson to sink in, because this happens 3 times while he's up there on the roof, that this vision reappears and it goes through this whole story 3 times up there. And understandably, Peter's very confused. His entire life, he's been taught to act and eat in certain ways. Now the Holy Spirit is telling Peter that it's all different. The Holy Spirit is shaping Peter and the future church. While Peter's up on the rooftop, very puzzled, This is when Cornelius's delegation appears to ask for Peter. While they wait downstairs, the Holy Spirit comes to Peter again and says, "Look, you need to get up. Go down there without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter goes downstairs and says, "I think I'm the one you're looking for. What's the purpose for your coming?" And they tell Peter that Cornelius, a good, God-fearing person who is well spoken of by the entire Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel just to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say. And miraculously, Peter invites them into the home. And not only does he invite them in, he offers them hospitality for the night. I wonder if we can fully appreciate what it would be like for Peter to receive this message and then be summoned to a Roman centurion's home. Jesus, the disciples, and early church were all abused and some murdered by those in Roman rule. Not so long ago, we talked about disciples and Mary hiding in fear after Jesus was crucified. This would be a huge fear for Peter to overcome. Talk about that Holy Spirit pushing again. Peter gathers some fellow believers from Joppa and travels with the friends of Cornelius to Caesarea. Verse 24 makes me chuckle a little bit. It says, Cornelius was expecting them and had called together all his relatives and close friends. Cornelius is so confident that of the angel's vision, it does not even seem to hold any possibility of a doubt in his mind that Peter will arrive as expected. After a really awkward greeting, Peter goes into the room and sees all of these people assembled. Before he even hears why Cornelius has sent for him, he shares this caveat. You yourself know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Peter has had a life-altering shift in his belief system over the last 24 hours. He has processed what the vision was telling him and is ready to obey what has been revealed through the vision of what is unclean. God has made all clean. All are welcome into this banquet of faith. This is preparing him to welcome in the Gentiles and others into the baby Christian church. In verse 34, he's even more concrete in his statement to the room of Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, Lord of all. God shows no partiality to anyone. The peace that passes all understanding is for all. Unfortunately, since those words were said, generations of the church have tried to dictate rules for does what is right is, rather than sharing the good news that God shows no partiality and all of us are clean and beloved. Who are we to say otherwise? Nadia Boltz-Weber, Lutheran preacher, says, Jesus is not the Lord of empire. Jesus is not the Lord of institutionalized religion. Jesus is not the Lord of domination. Jesus is the Lord of compassion. We are all on this continuing conversion with Peter, with each other. I want to share a little bit of my own story with you. I knew my own Cornelius. I was brought up in a really conservative church. Men in suits were the only ones that were able to be present up front unless you could play piano, organ, or sing. An American flag symmetrically balanced with the Christian flag up front. Sins were cataloged and referenced, some more than others. If it was a sexual sin, you had to go up in front of the entire congregation and apologize for your sin. Not if you cheated on taxes or abused your employees or secretly hurt your family, just the sexual sins. In this community, my friends and I grew up. There was a core group of about 8 of us who were similar age and really close friends. We would spend Sunday afternoons at one another's houses and go back to church for the Sunday evening service, and then youth group. And in the summers, we went to family and youth camps. We attended and helped run vacation Bible schools every year. We were always at the church. Barry was one of my best friends. All through elementary, junior high, and high school, and into college. We knew early on that Barry was a little bit different in some way we couldn't quite name, but we certainly never talked about it. He was just Barry, and we all loved one another. As we got older, it dawned on us that Barry was gay. This didn't change anything for our friendship or with our group. Barry was Barry. It was just a label. But of course, in that time and place, it could not stay just a label. One day, Barry and an older college boy were spotted together. The sidewalk rolled up. The shutters rolled down. I'm not going to go into all the aftermath, but it was horrific. This beloved friend was shamed and shunned by the same people who had preached God's love for years, and they slammed the door shut on Barry. That was my awakening to the sickness that gets embedded into the institutional church. How scripture gets twisted to protect some and keep out what is perceived to be the other. I could not for the life of me understand. This was Barry. We loved him. He was our friend. I'm still heartbroken when I remember the day his dear parents came to me, thanking me for still being their son's friend. As a parent and grandparent, the memory of this thought still breaks me. This is not some virtual signaling story for me. This is a recollection of trauma suffered by a beloved friend, of a community turning on its own, making him other because of some particular scripture interpretation where fear wins out over love. Too many times, I have seen love being structured in hierarchical ways that would have love be wrong. Now, I am not talking about illegal actions or abuse. I am not talking about hedonistic self-gratification that gets labeled as love. I am talking about love. We are told over and over in Scripture what love is. It's kind. It's patient. It's true mutual submission. It seeks the best for the other. It's not rude or arrogant. It does not insist on its own way. We are told to love God, love others, period. Why do we make it so complicated? Only to keep others out? Walter Brueggemann, in his article, The Ethical Dignity of the Other, states, "The same move toward inclusion of those who are stranger is a major urging in the tradition. A mandate to welcome the stranger can be traced through the Bible. In the wondrous text of Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 22, key summons to Israel in the culminating imperative is this: you shall love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Brueggemann continues, "It cannot be any more direct than that. Love the stranger. Love what is strange. Love what is unlike us. Embrace what is other." The Israelites could remember their own past history as strangers. And we can recognize in our own context that almost all of us here are immigrants or are from immigrant families. Almost all of us came to this land as outsiders, many without resources. The insistence of Moses is echoed in the singular mandate in Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so that some may have entertained angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13, 1-2. I share my Cornelius story of Barry because he's no longer here to do so for himself. I long to speak about and for my friend. My childhood church got it so wrong. They maintained an Old Testament way of rule-keeping instead of a New Testament kind of people-keeping. Our own church has had seasons where it's struggled with rule-keeping versus people-keeping. Barbara Brown Taylor put it this way: the only clear line I draw these days is this. When my religion tries to come between me and my neighbor, I will choose my neighbor. That self-canceling feature of my religion is one of the things I like best about it, she says. Jesus never commanded me to love my religion. Let's take a moment and reflect. What are we possibly wrong about? What am I wrong about? Who are we keeping out? Who are we calling unclean? What opportunities are we denying people in the name of God? What opportunities are we denying ourselves in the name of God? Do we hear God's messenger telling us, "Who are you to call unclean what I have made clean?" What if, with grace and dignity, equality and justice, with truth and reconciliation, with inclusion and embrace, with you fill in your own blank, what is that particular belief we might need to examine? Who is the Cornelius in your life that you need to recognize as clean by God? Look at the amazing things that happened because Peter allowed the Holy Spirit to push and to prod, to mold and shape, to energize and change. Peter preached to Cornelius and the Gentiles, and they became believers and received the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They extolled God and were baptized. This is the Gentile Pentecost. All because two people were prodded and pushed by the Holy Spirit and listened. And even though they were confused, they moved out of old ways of doing things and were shaped into new ways of being, then energetically traveled toward one another until they stood face to face and then alongside each other and finally began walking side by side forward. In John Philip Newell's Sacred Earth, Sacred Soul, he says this: many of us today are aware that the old order is not working. Politically, socially, environmentally, religiously. Countless numbers of us from the Christian community have already lifted anchor and are sailing out of the harbor of our religious homeland. Even though we may not know where we're headed or how far we need to go, the good news is that we do not need to know exactly where we are headed. We can choose to be a part of an ancient spiritual practice of peregrination, leaving home or the comfort of the familiar in order to seek resurrection, new beginnings. Cornelius's conversion and Peter's ongoing conversion is our own conversion story. Cornelius and Peter is FBC's story. What is the next thing that we're evolving into? What is the Holy Spirit energizing us to do next? God, may we, like Cornelius and Peter, see your vision, listen to your word, and enthusiastically step into our own continuing conversion. Amen.
As we continue to worship this morning, we do so by the giving of our tithes and offering. And in the month of August, we've gone back to passing the plates here in the sanctuary. Thanks for your generosity and giving to the work of this church in Edmonton and beyond. A church that's been around since 1893, 129 years, seeking peace and well-being in this city. So thanks for those who give. Over the past few weeks, we've been reminding you that there's these cards in the pew racks in front of you. If you give by direct deposit or online at fbcedmonton.ca and still want to do the act of worship, you can take one of these cards and put it in the offering plate as it comes round. And thanks for the many ways that you give, whether you're mailing in a gift or dropping one off or phoning a donation in during the course of the week. Let us give joyfully to the work of the Lord. Over the past few weeks, right before the prayer of gratitude, I've been inviting you to look to your left or look to your right or look around you and maybe say, or with your eyes or with your smile, I am grateful for you. Because we look around this place and we recognize that we're in this journey together. And we're grateful that we have companions on the journey of faith. With hearts full of gratitude, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we look around in the sanctuary and we see reasons why we can be thankful. This place, this space, this gathering of people, this history of 129 years of seeking peace and well-being in the city and being able to join in what you're doing by your Spirit, shaping, pushing, empowering, and energizing us. Would you please bless these gifts and those who give, and the ways that we give in other ways of our talents and our time, our volunteer efforts, and our prayers. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, O generous giver of all. Amen.
Just a few things before our blessing and sending. I just wanted to give a further comment about the organ, and maybe some of you didn't hear that at the beginning. So our organ last Saturday morning, while Lori was prepared to practice for Sunday, nothing worked. So we found out that it's the 1955 motor that's for the bellows. Downstairs, the bellows, not Ken and Joyce bellows, but for the bellows that push air through the pipes. It does not work anymore. It has nothing to do with the restoration that we did 6 years ago. It has nothing to do with that. It's a motor that's been running for 67 years. I think we can now let it go and find a new one. So Gerald is working on that, so be assured. We are doing all that we can for that. But we have a beautiful piano. And this piano can be heard now more and more. So we'll keep you abreast of what's going on. I also wanted to give a great thanks to Lori for last week pivoting in 24 hours to everything she planned on the organ to be on the piano. If you don't play the two instruments, you don't realize what that is. And so that's quite a pivot. And then this week she prepared some wonderful music on the piano. So thank you, Lori, very much for guiding us into this possible new era. Secondly, please join us for our picnic down at the Ledge Grounds, about three blocks south. Please come. There's lots of places you can bring some things, or if you just want to come join us, just be with us together. And then, as Ryan said earlier, there's a Treaty 6 recognition day down at the Ledge, just further down the grounds. They unveiled a monument this morning, and that was with the Confederacy of Treaty 6 First Nations, with the city and the government of Alberta joining in with that. So maybe we can go down and see that as well. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Lord, how strange it is that you call us to be your church. Yet you have always worked through people in the working out of your purpose. May we be filled with your love, that we might truly be your disciples and live in your will. Amen.